Hi, and welcome back to an exciting episode of Paranormal Stories and Spooky Shiz. This is Chappie, and this is my co-host today, Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
All right, let's get into it. All right, today we're going to get into the house I grew up in. I know I've hinted at it in past episodes before, but we definitely grew up in a haunted house. Rachel, my co-host today, is my older sister, and she has some stories to tell herself. So without further ado, let's talk about it. So I'll start first. We moved there in like 93. It was the four of us. We shared bedrooms for a while. I always slept in my sister's rooms because I was so scared of my room. Do you remember that?
Yes, you were always coming to my bedroom every night, and you'd start to tell me the stuff, and I'd be like, stop, because I wouldn't finish sleeping. And I believed you, so I would always prefer you to tell me exactly what happened, like, in the morning, after I made sure we weren't in any danger.
All right. I do remember going in your room at night, and one time I woke up in there after sleepwalking, and I was just standing in your room staring at you, and I woke up whenever you said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, you like to do that a lot, which made the experiences even creepier when you wake up and see a person standing there and you're trying to figure out very quickly, is this another shadow person or a real person?
Yeah, because you saw shadow people there too, right?
Yes, all the time.
Can you tell us about one of those times?
Normally I would see the shadow people like when there were arguments in the house, when like the mood was heavy and things were not going very well. They just kind of lurked around. And it's one of those things that you think you see it, but you don't want to say anything because if you acknowledge it, then it's real, you know?
Yeah, I totally get that. I know whenever I would see, like, you and Dad have an argument or something, I would see something cross my room and go into your room, and it was transparent, and it was a shadow, and it was moving, and I would just turn over and go back to sleep because I didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, and I would dream a lot more about the activity that happened there. I don't know, I can't think of a specific shadow being in that house, but I do remember one of my most memorable encounters with a shadow person. We were spending the night at one of our aunt's houses, and we always slept on the floor on pallets, like on blankets. And I remember looking up and there was a shadow person in the doorway. Like they were just standing there watching. And I described them to our aunt as a burglar. And so she had my uncle, who had been up since before the sun came up, like looked all around outside, looked everywhere. And he's like, "I've been up." So as you know, a trailer is not that big, and if there is a tall burglar looking person walking around, we would know.
Right.
So they really dismissed it, and I dismissed it as my imagination and just left it at that. That was my most memorable, and I would say my first encounter, my first real encounter with a full human shaped shadow person.
Right.
When I was younger than that, I would see body parts of shadows, like hands and feet and heads, but not the whole body.
Right. Which that would have been terrifying on its own.
It was. It was.
Let's see. I try to think back to my earliest thoughts about shadow people. And I just remember sleeping in my other sister's room on the top bunk and seeing a transparent shadow person go from her closet. And this is in the dark, of course, in the middle of the night. It goes from her closet to the dresser and is looking for stuff on the dresser. And then it turns around and it looks at me. I guess it knew I was awake, but I pretend to be asleep. And it comes towards me and then turns around and goes back into the closet. And needless to say, I slept in my sister's room for a while after that one.
Yeah, I remember one time you all screaming like bloody murder. And I was in the farthest bedroom and I was like hoping Dad and then would come check on you guys. So when they finally did and we went in there and we were talking to you all, you had seen something at the end of the bed and it touched your feet, and then you like screamed and then grabbed our sister, yeah, one of our sister's feet, and she started screaming, which woke the other one up, and you were all screaming very loudly.
Yeah. I know Mom one time sat me down, I was probably in sixth grade, and she asked me about, because I had always told them about things I saw and just different things like that. And, you know, they would always tell me, oh, you're having an overactive imagination, you know. And this particular time, my mom sat me down and was just like, I know I've mentioned it in other episodes, but she was like, so you're telling me you see shadows darting from room to room and you tell me that you see shadow people? And I was like, yeah, why am I in trouble for it? Like, and she actually admitted that, yeah, she sees those things too. And then she proceeded to tell me a story about when her husband, my dad, and her were fighting. She saw a shadow person move right behind him. And then he said like one of the most vile things he could have said at the time. So I do think it fed off of our collective emotions and just the unrest that was there.
For sure. And I think that's what those type of things do. That's where they get their energy.
I definitely think that's right. Like, I mean, people that go around and expel these spirits from places, I mean, they say these things feed off of depression, unrest, anger. It's all those lower vibrational things, which kind of coincide with those being lower vibrational entities. But I do think that, you know, this was more the house than us, but I think it was like a perfect storm of like anger, emotion, all that stuff, and something already being in that house. What do you think?
Absolutely, because I always got a weird feeling from that house. I hated the attic. And remember all that old stuff we found that was just kind of creepy?
Oh, yeah, like German medals and all that kind of stuff up there.
Yeah, and it's like, it just felt creepy. And it was also like, well, am I just being a kid who's scared to move into this house, you know? Mm-hmm. But over time, I think it was proven that it was not.
Yeah, I remember seeing a bald guy standing in my closet while I was looking in my wardrobe mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And it really freaked me out because he was kind of coming out of the closet. And so I'm staring in the mirror watching this happen. And then I turn around and he's not there. And then I turn back to the mirror and he's gone. So just things like that would just happen all the time.
Yeah. I remember one time I was in bed and I started sleeping with my door shut because I did not like looking across the hallway.
At my room?
At your room.
That I was terrified of.
Yes. So I started shutting the door, but I remember getting up one morning because I thought you guys had like rattled my door. So I woke up scared to death because something was violently shaking my door like it was trying to get in. And I was like, I didn't lock my door because, you know, we were not allowed to have locked doors.
Right. That was a rule.
And so it really scared me. And I was mad at you guys, like you and our two sisters.
Why would they do that in the middle of the night?
Right. Like, you always come in here, just turn the knob kind of thing. Like, why would you just shake the door? And all of you said, like, we did not come in there. And that freaked me out.
Yeah.
So bad.
I was going to ask you, did you ever have any sleep paralysis episodes while you were there?
I'm sure I did. I remember more being, like, awake and then frozen in fear by whatever was around. I wouldn't be able to move.
Yeah, that's kind of like sleep paralysis.
Yeah, but it was not from waking up. It was just like
frozen in fear.
Yeah, like I was already awake.
I get that.
Like, I had come home one time to visit, and I was sleeping on the couch in the living room, and our back door had this distinct sound when it opened because you had to push it a little bit, and that is like an unmistakable sound, and I heard it.
Right.
And I think the dog like growled or something. And remember, we had stray cats that were in the house and like came in hole in the sink and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I heard them like go back under the house.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting for whoever was coming in our house to make it to me on the couch. Right. And I was frozen in fear. I literally felt like covered under a ton of blankets and like I had no voice. I could not speak
right
at all. And that was even more terrifying that I could not, because I was close enough to mom and dad's bedroom. I could have yelled out for dad.
Yeah.
And he would have heard me immediately, but I couldn't find my voice.
And as you know, I always slept in the living room closest to our parents' bedroom because I was scared of my room. And one night I was sleeping on the couch and I had this dream that I was letting the dog out the back door. Same one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it lightninged and there was a person standing over in the corner of our yard. And then it lightninged and it was nothing. And then a lightning again, and he was closer. And then he was in front of me, screaming at the window. But then it turned into an Asian little boy screaming at the window, terrified me out of my skin. I woke up. I was up for a while after that one. But, of course, that was just a dream. But it has stuck with me all of these years.
Yeah, I remember dreaming about the fog man, that every time you would look, it would be a little bit closer. So when you would like to, you described it to me, I'm like, no. And I don't even think I told you then that I had dreamed about him too, but it was a little bit different for me, but it was always like, end up being like a face right in the window.
Right.
But I've always had faces in windows. Yeah. Like
even in your waking time or just asleep?
In my waking time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when we lived in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
In the trailer, I remember telling mom that the house was haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, this is a brand new trailer. But I would always see this thing in the window.
Yeah, I remember some stories I have from the trailer are needing to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And I had to leave my sister's room. And immediately I'm facing a spare bedroom, which nobody ever slept in. It was the creepy room. And turn, and there's my parents' room. And then turn again, and there's the hallway that leads into the dark kitchen and the bathroom. So one night I get up to go to the bathroom, and I'm like 4 or 5 years old. But I still remember there being a person in the bed staring at me whenever I left the room to go to the bathroom. There was a person in the bed staring at me.
Mm.
And he looked up And I went back, and I'm pretty sure I went back and peed the bed because I was not about to deal with that.
Right?
But that room was just creepy in the trailer.
It was. I remember I would dream about people coming out of the walls and just, like, partying in that room. Like, just milling around. Like, it was full of people. And I remember you talking about people coming out of the walls, and I was like, oh, that's the people I'm dreaming about. Like,
right. Like, I would say it, and you would dream about it, mm-hmm. or would have already dreamed about it.
Yes.
Which is freaky. But I swear, we didn't do this to the house we grew up in. It was already there, and we were a perfect storm. I still believe that.
Yeah, and we grew up in the swamp. Down in the south, so there's always a lot of activity.
Yeah,
down in those areas.
Right. We refer to these stories as Hill Street stories because that's where the house was that we grew up in. And so anytime we want to talk about something paranormal or, you know, kind of spooky that we haven't really mentioned recently, we'd be like, do you want to talk about Hill Street? Or that reminds me of Hill Street. That yeah. feeling reminds me of Hill Street.
Yeah. And I remember we had to be careful talking about it in Hill Street.
Yeah.
Because stuff would start happening and we would have to leave. Like, we would be out the door. It would feel so uncomfortable. And like
I would remember when you would come to visit and me and you would stay up talking about stuff, and it would eventually lead to paranormal stuff because we both grew up with lots of paranormal stuff happening there. And it would just get heavy in the room.
Yeah.
Like, it was there watching us.
Yeah, and I remember the dog would freak out and, like, corner things in the corner, and I'd be like, oh, I've got to go. I've got to get out of here.
He would growl and claw at that wall, and I know.
Oh, yes.
I know there were mice, but he would go crazy at the wall sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes it was just at the corner.
At the closet, at the hallway. Just randomly, he would arch his back and just go to town, warning whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time you came in my room because you were like, a bad person had shattered the glass in your room, and I swear it was like an auditory hallucination.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, first, let's just see if the glass is broken, and neither one of us wanted to look. We argued about who was going to look, and I was like, it's your room. I can go back to sleep.
Right. So my dad, being the person he is, he told me my window was shatterproof after that. So he told me nobody could get in through my window, so I would sleep in there.
Yeah, that's kind of smart, though.
It is. It's a good parenting tactic. But later, we had some people selling fire alarms. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what about my window? It's shatterproof. And they started laughing. And they were like, no, it's not.
But
here's
your
fire bat.
Yeah, but I think we told you the bat would, like, do something. Right. And you took that as an acceptable substitute.
Yeah, I slept with that bat pretty close at hand.
But you know what? That room, after we had all pretty much moved out, like, and nobody was staying in that room, it was the coldest room. And it was, I hated going in there. Like, hated it.
Oh, I always felt watched whenever I would go to my room. Like, and sleeping in there. Oh my gosh, there's so many times I was touched, like on my back. I woke up with scratches, bruises. I would tell mom and dad about it, and they wouldn't know what to do with it, so they would tell me it's my imagination, stuff like that.
Your scratches freaked me out, because then I thought it was a demon.
Yeah, because they were in groups of three, and you know how people say those scratches show up like some kind of devil's mark or something. I did not like that at all.
No, that freaked me out even more.
One time I came home from church really like, you know what? God's got me. I got this. So I go in my room and I announce to the room that it's not going to scare me anymore. And I'm going to sleep in my room because it's my room and God has me. And as soon as I shut off the light and laid down, a puff of air blew in my ear.
No.
Yeah. And I started hearing growling, which could have been just my imagination. But I grabbed my pillow and my blanket, and I went back to my solace, which was the couch.
I slept on the couch a lot, too. Like, I spent a lot of time in the living room.
I felt safer there.
I did, too. And my room stayed super cold all the time. Like, all the time. And it was, like, uncomfortable cold.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I spent a lot of time in the living room.
It was right by my parents' bedroom, so it was, like, the ideal location. Because, I don't know, I thought they were going to save me from something paranormal.
Yeah, it was also a lot, like, that's why I ignored a lot of stuff. Because it's like, what is anyone going to do for me? What can they do?
Right. I know one time I was sleeping in that room, and I just had the, like, most demonic dream I could think of at the time. I was, like, in sixth grade. And I swear to you, I thought this was a demon attack until I heard about sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you wake up suddenly from your dreams and you're still in REM sleep, so your body's paralyzed so you don't run into a wall or whatever while you're sleeping. And so you're still paralyzed, but it feels like you can't breathe. It felt, and I saw this dark shadow on top of me, and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, oh no, this is a demonic attack. And so, like, I tried to work up the words to say, like, what I heard missionaries say, like, Lord Jesus, save me, you know? And I couldn't even mutter the words for a while. And then whenever I was starting to come out of sleep paralysis, I was able to be like, Jesus! And then it kind of went away and I was able to move, you know? But I fully believe that was a demonic attack until I heard about sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing stories about, like, older Christian couples, like, in the church being attacked by a demonic presence, and it sounds exactly like sleep paralysis. So that's a logical jump when you grow up the way that we do, that everything's a demon.
Right. Like I said before, we grew up very religious, so everything was a demon. Movies have a spirit. Houses have a spirit. Items have a spirit. Everything has a spirit. And if it's not a good one, it's a demon, you know?
Yeah. Now, I do believe everything has a spirit.
Yeah.
But it's not all. Can't all be lumped into one group.
Right. Let's take a short break and get right back into it after this. All right, we're back.
Yep.
We're just looking at each other. Yep.
All right. We are not professional.
This is just a podcast. One thing I did want to mention is the crying lady that I saw in the bathroom. So I was in the bathroom, and, you know, purity culture and all that. There was a woman in our bathroom when my pants were down. How dare she? Right? But it was an apparition of a woman crying. And she looked confused that I was there. But I'm looking at her confused because I was going to the bathroom. And I covered myself for modesty's sake. But just, like, how did this woman get here and why is she crying? And then I realized it was an apparition because, of course, there is no woman there. She disappeared. And I was like, what did I just see? So I went outside and waited for all the family to get home.
You text me.
Yeah?
Yeah. We talked on the phone, I think. I think I was in California.
Yeah.
I was not around.
Right.
But I remember you saying, like, texting you because I know you're not going to think I'm crazy. I'm like, nope, it's okay. I think a dimension, there was a time loop rip.
Yeah.
That's my wild theory on that.
Yeah, I was just like, add that to the many, many, many things that have happened in this house.
Right.
So I want to say the trailer was pretty creepy as well.
Yeah, it was. But it seemed like everywhere we went when we lived down there was had some kind of haunting history.
Yeah, we're a little bit sensitive.
Yeah. And then it was really popular for the older people to tell us these ghost stories and things. But in the trailer, I remember I would see like hands.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they were shadows. Sometimes they were glowing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, in the closet. And it, I would yell for dad. And it used to scare me half to death. Like, I could look from my bed and see mom and dad's bed, right? I could see the foot of their bed.
Right.
But crossing in front of that junk room was, like, the scariest thing in my life to do.
Yeah, I remember mom put me in that junk room, and I'm, like, 4. And she's like, go, hurry up. And I was like, why are you saying hurry? Like, what do you know that I don't? But she made me take a nap in there, and I was, like, fighting it the whole time. Like, I was like, no, this room is creepy.
So I was about 11, and I thought I was going to be a big girl and go sleep by myself, not with all my siblings in one room. And so I helped clean up the room and make it all nice and make it into my bedroom. That lasted like a couple days, and I could not take it at all.
Yeah, what was the worst part?
I think the worst was when I went to walk in, I saw some random apparition reading the newspaper on my bed.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh, nope, I'm out. And then just the noises and people in the window when I would be trying to sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
I cannot.
I always pictured stuff in that closet.
Yes. That was like the worst closet.
Yeah. I don't know. I just know that in my short time alive, Deanne and my other sisters, like, well, I guess Paige wasn't born yet or wasn't old enough.
She was like 2 when we lived
there. Yeah, it was either you or Deanne that told me that that was the ghost room, that there was a ghost in that room.
I mean, I don't think I would be that mean.
Mom and dad and you and like just what I would see whenever I would see stuff and being told to hush. Stop talking about that.
Right? I remember astral projecting. I didn't know that's what it was called at the time, but I remember telling mom that I watched myself sit in the living room and read a book in the middle of the night. And she's like, no, I would have heard you and seen you get up, because in the trailer we had this big wooden sliding door that separated like the kitchen and living room from like the bedroom bathroom area.
Yeah.
And it was loud when you like opened it like clanged and all that, and mom was a light sleeper and she was like, I would have known. And I very vividly remember looking at myself in the living room like reading. It was crazy.
Yeah,
however that works,
I would believe it. I mean, I had a ton of nightmares whenever I was little. Like, it didn't matter if it was Hill Street or the trailer. I know at the trailer, one of my wildest, like, scary dreams was, like, this being with fake-looking eyes coming in and wearing a suit, and he chased all of our family. And we were hiding behind the couch where I liked to hide back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to brush our teeth with acid.
Wow.
Like, not the acid that you trip on, but the acid that, like, melts you away.
Right.
That's apparently was a concern whenever I was this young.
Wow. But you know what? I remember having a lot of dreams there of, like, survival and being chased. Some of that I attributed to, like, the trauma of going through a tornado.
Yeah.
Living in a tornado prone area in a trailer next to a swamp. You know, there's a little bit of fear built into some of those dreams. I get that. But yeah. I do remember lots of dreams there about survival and running. And I also had premonition, like, dreams there.
Yeah?
I did, but...
You would see the future?
Kind of, but I always had the characters wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was always wrong.
That's acceptable. I mean, yeah. It's a dream.
But it was, like, I dreamt about one of our uncles getting shot, except I was the shooter, and it was a different uncle.
Oh, wow.
And that was not what happened. It was, like I said, one of our uncles did get shot, but it was by his wife.
Right.
It was not me.
I mean, I could still consider that a premonition dream, having the characters wrong.
Yeah, and then I dreamt about our mom being hit by a semi-truck, and it was not that. It was one of our cousin's mom got hit by a semi-truck and passed away.
Oh, wow. And those were in the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
I just remember being scared of the front door.
Really?
Yeah, I would have dreams where there were things that would stand at the front door and then suck me into their presence, and I couldn't get away.
Wow. Did you ever dream about aliens?
I don't think so.
Here. I did a lot.
Yeah. All right. I'm trying to think. There was one time me and my sister Deanne were watching a scary movie because we were on like a horror movie kick, and this was at Hill Street, and all of a sudden, like, we're watching this movie and nothing really scary had happened yet, but ever since we put the movie in, we got lumps in our throat and both thought that each of us were experiencing this on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of like, we're like, why do I feel guilty? Why is my throat feel like that? So we continue watching and we just get this feeling of dread, and both of us are feeling it. And then about 15, 20 minutes go by. It's still the intro of the movie, you know, and it's one of those that doesn't get right to the point right away, but it was just dark symbolism and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, my sister Deanne, because she's the braver of the two of us, she's like, do you have a bad feeling? Because I do. And I said, yeah, we need to get that movie out of the house. So we not only took the movie out and didn't watch the rest, we put it on the front steps so it would be outside of our home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved to Japan, we went on this cultural tour. When you first get there, it's kind of like your welcome orientation.
Right.
And we went to this temple and they were just explaining all this rituals and stuff like that as we're taking this tour. And I remember I went in the room that it was like lined with these boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It looked kind of like... P.O. boxes, actually. I mean, that's how big the slots were.
Right.
But it was very, it was decorated. It was beautiful. But it was their room of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like something maybe was really interested in me or whatever when I was in there and paying any attention to it. But when I got home, like that night when I went to sleep, and for a while after, I was having these really nightmare, like demonic, like nightmares, like this creature. And I would wake up in the middle of the night, like cold sweat, like I could like feel it in the corner of my room and I could like see it in my mind's eye. Oh, it was so creepy. It was like gray humanoid, like, oh,
yeah,
so weird. I can't say that I know for sure that it came, like, the temple was beautiful and peaceful, so
right.
I'm not saying it's, like, a temple spirit, or
mm-hmm.
maybe I was disrespectful in some way, you know? And maybe that was some kind of punishment because it went away on its own. Yeah. So maybe, I don't know.
You served your time.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't know for sure. You know, I didn't know enough about Japanese folklore,
right?
You know, to say, but it did go away after a while.
Was it just like a presence or was it just dreams?
It was mainly dreams, but I did feel creepy at nighttime, especially.
Yeah.
I tried to not be there as much as possible.
Right.
And then it was mainly, like, I could handle that part. It was the dreams that made it so, like, hard, you know?
Another story from Hill Street. I know my mom always knew I was a scary cat. But she, to punish me one time, it was probably because I wouldn't go in my room or something like that. But she made me go in my room, shut the door, and she told me that I would get a spanking if I turned on the light. So I told her I did not want to be in there in the dark in that room. And she made me shut the door, and I put my face down by the crack of the door to soak in the hallway light. I just kept my face turned towards that light while my dark room behind me, stuff is moving, stuff is making noise, all kinds of stuff was happening behind me, but I refused to look at it or to turn away from that light that was in the hallway.
Yeah.
I told my mom that story a couple years ago, and she was like, I am so sorry. So, it's just one of those things that, looking back, you're like, oh my gosh, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
So I know a couple of other places that we've lived, we've had experiences here and there, right?
Yes.
I know somewhere else I lived, there was what I would call a mimic, which is an entity that sounds like a relative or someone you trust. And it's, for me, it's always my mom calling, and my mom's not even there, or she's not even close by or anything, but I'll hear my mom call my name and then tell me to come here.
Yeah.
Or I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll hear my mom say something to me from the hallway. And I'm just like, was that my mom? And so I'll get up and I'll check, and like, mom's either asleep or not even there.
I had that happen this past Christmas when we stayed at the cabin.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, it was so active there.
The cabin did feel very active.
Like, I could not sleep. I did not get more than 2 hours sleep the entire time we were there. But it was like a happy active. Like, it was like the things in the house enjoyed having people and celebrations. But the last night we were there, I kept hearing my name being called, and I could have swore it was my dad. And I heard my name like 3 times, and I got up irritated because I was like, I have to drive and I've gotten no sleep the last 4 days. I'm exhausted. Like, I need sleep. Right. So I'm like, jump off the couch, because the couches were uncomfortable too, on top of everything else. And turn the corner to where the voice was coming from, fully expecting to see my dad there, like, whispering to me to tell me something.
Right.
Because I thought I had heard him get up and go to the bathroom.
Right.
Too, so it, like, all made sense in my mind. And shows I was not in a very deep sleep. But I turned the corner and he wasn't there. He was like,
right,
there are no lights, there are nothing on. I was, so, like, the only one up.
I used to think these were just, like, spirits impersonating a loved one or a family member or someone you trusted. But then I actually heard somebody give it a name. They called it a mimic.
Oh, okay.
As like its own separate entity.
Okay. Are they good, bad, indifferent? Does it matter?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope they're good.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a bad feeling off of it. And I've even told my therapist about it, which is funny because, like, I'm telling her, like, I'm hearing voices.
Yeah.
But the way I described it, she said it's very common for people to report that they hear stuff outside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not schizophrenia. You have to check a lot more boxes than just hearing a mm-hmm. loved one say something to you.
Mm-hmm.
I told my mom that I'm going to talk to her whenever she's gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she told me if I hear her voice when she's gone, it is not her. She has made it very clear that if we contact her whenever she is gone, it's not going to be her.
Yeah, she does not want anything to do with this place when she's gone. She's like, leave me alone.
Right. Let's see. Other than the mimics, I know another place I lived, there was, like, I was by myself, and I was walking back to my room, and I heard something fall from the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and I'm by myself. It's late at night. I'm just like, oh, great. What is it now? And I go, and it's like this Tupperware container that was set flat on the back of the refrigerator. That's where it normally was.
Mm-hmm.
It was now across the way in front of the sink.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, that had to be thrown.
Right? That, yeah, that's the only way that could have gotten there.
Yeah, it totally freaked me out for a second. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to my room because my room felt safe, which right? is the exact opposite of how it felt growing up.
Well, yeah. But since you're older, you can
kind of set the boundaries of what spirits are allowed in my field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also having a better understanding of what's going on around you and
right.
being able to like research and identify and explore the possibilities, and it's not all lumped into it's demonic.
Right. That's been the biggest thing about my growth in this process has been everything doesn't have to be demonic just because you can't explain it.
Yes.
That has taken so much fear out of this. And as you know, because you grew up with me, I grew up with fear.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
But, I mean, knowing what you grew up experiencing, I would say it's justified fear.
Right.
So.
Like, I know I talked to a missionary one time. My mom wanted me to talk to him about the dreams I was having and kind of the things I was seeing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so afraid of him telling me that I had a demon that I totally lied to him. He would say, now, are these things trying to get you? And I'm like, no, sir. Mm-mm, not these things. So tell me why you're scared all the time. I don't know. It just happens. Like, I was very... I did not want him to tell me I had a demon.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I think one thing we should learn about you is do not tell you about the test before the test.
Mm-hmm.
You have way too much time to prepare.
Right. I will manipulate that test.
I remember when you went and I was like, what? Why, Bubba? Why would you do that? Like, why wouldn't you tell him the truth?
Right.
And then I was like, if you had a demon, he's the one to get rid of it.
He would have been the perfect one to get rid of it, too. And I don't think he would have drawn it out and been like, you have a demon. He would have just taken care of it. But I was so afraid that that's the conclusion he was going to come to.
So you'd rather just live with the demon?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I was young.
Right. I think I suppressed a lot. Like, I just chalked a lot of stuff up to my imagination, and then
I did too.
I just ignored a lot.
Right.
A lot. Except, and I guess that's why things got in my face, like at Hill Street and stuff, because I would ignore a lot.
Right. So, I know at Hill Street, like, I would always have times whenever, like, I would go and wake up in random places in the house. Wake up in the living room, wake up in my parents' room, standing over their bed. I attribute that to sleepwalking mostly, but that is still so freaky to, like, wake up standing over your parents. And, like, how did I get here?
Yeah, I had a couple episodes like that at the trailer.
Yeah.
Where I would just wake up and be standing
in the pantry
or in the
right?
middle of the room, or I'd have different clothes on than when I went to bed.
Yeah. that is so terrifying because as a child, you're probably like, how did I get here?
Absolutely.
Did the demons move me here? Did the ghosts move me here? All this kind of stuff.
I blamed it on sleepwalking a lot, which is probably what our parents called it.
Yeah. I know when I was younger, I don't deal with this now in my adult life, but whenever I was younger, I think I had a form of OCD connected to the paranormal. Because I would have to turn off and on my light so many times or they would get me.
Mm.
And I don't know what the they was, but I assumed it was demons.
Right.
So, like, I would have to flush the toilet and turn around one time and then flush the toilet again. Or wash my hands a certain amount of times.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds a lot like OCD.
Yeah.
But I didn't carry that into my adult or teenage life.
Yeah. But it also feels like your way of trying to protect yourself, you know, obviously, but like almost like you're warding your, you know, like even at that young age, you were doing like rituals and things to like bolster your protection.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I know. I mean, I grew up in that house at Hill Street. So like I went through my first like depression there. And that stuff just feeds on that kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it would just, you know, the voices that I would hear. Again, I'm not schizophrenic. I've checked.
Right.
But the voices that I would hear would just say the awfulest things to me. And just like, I remember one time I thought, because I was getting more and more spiritual, I thought that I had done away with the mean talking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking back to my room to put my stuff away, and there just being a voice that goes, "I'm back." And I was like, "No, you're not." Oh my gosh. The voices are back.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, people with schizophrenia, like, it's not, I don't think, the stigma that we've been taught.
Right.
You know, like, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around that. And I think that and other mentally divergent people, we will say, they don't have a block. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes there's not a filter for the entity. Like,
yeah.
We're surrounded by entities, like surrounded.
Right.
And we are constantly creating, whether consciously or subconsciously. Mm-hmm. And so that puts a lot of good and lower vibrational things out there. Right.
Yeah.
And I think some people, say, have gifts, or the mentally divergent people, like, they sometimes their gateway to those. Contact with those voices, with those entities and the things on the other side of the veil is broken. Or not necessarily broken, because we're not broken, but thinner.
Right.
And less manageable.
Right.
Than others.
Yeah. I definitely can believe on the lines of that, too. Just like people say that it's purely scientific, that sleep paralysis is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But why can't it be both? Like, why can't it be you waking up out of REM sleep paralyzed, but also the stuff that you're seeing is just seeing through the veil?
Yeah, I think it is, because I think when we dream, we go back to that world.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But I know, like, I lived in a house in Japan that was very close to a crematorium.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all kind of freaky stuff happen there. But when I would remember that there were times when I was like on the, and I would do this on purpose sometimes, when I was on the verge of like sleeping awake, like this was back in the day when we just talked on the phone. And you like somebody and you like talk for hours and like I would talk till I was so tired that I was just saying random stuff, you know? But in those moments, I like in between or even when I'm waking up, like the sleep paralysis time, I would hear so clearly voices and there were tons of them, like a radio.
Right.
And I would do it on purpose just to hear them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I kind of get that because whenever I go through a period where I don't hear my radio, which my radio is something that I developed whenever, like I was a kid, but it really came prominent whenever I lived by myself. Mm-hmm. It's just whenever I hear random people talking about random things halfway through a conversation, but it's in my head. I know it's in my head, but it'll be something random. Like I was 15 when I pushed him off the dock. And you're like, what? What is the rest of this story?
Right? That would be annoying.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like I was hearing, normally the thing, information I get is in my head, right? But in those times it was outside. I was hearing it outside of my head. And so I was trying to tune into it. It was like I could not tune into like the, I could hear it, but I wasn't on the right station. Not quite yet and I wanted to get on that right frequency, but I didn't like it when it happened when I woke up. I didn't mind it when it was like I'm falling asleep because I kind of understand what's happening, but when I would wake up and it would be so loud with voice and I'm like, where am I? Oh, and then you can't move. Yeah.
And my therapist told me that like she would always preface it with like, whether it's a spiritual gift or it's your brain being too active, that's for you to decide in this moment. But like, it's very, very common to, when you're in bed, when you're falling asleep, or when you're waking up, to hear auditory hallucinations. You know, so whether it was spirits or it was an auditory hallucination, either way, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Because you're hearing something you shouldn't. But I loved that she was so kind in that explanation whenever she was telling me about that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. That's cool.
Yeah. I know, like, not to go all the way back to Hill Street, but Hill Street, it kind of developed, like, who we became and everything. So Hill Street's probably some of our most, like, haunting stuff. So, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'm smirking right now because most of us want to just burn it down. No offense to the people that live there now.
Right.
But I would like the match if they let me.
Whenever I was there, I know I would pick up emotions that weren't mine. Because I'm usually pretty docile, I would say. Like, funny, creative, like, I'm pretty chill. And I would just get hit in the face with, and my little sister Paige can attest to this, she's 2 years younger, and she can attest to, all of a sudden my mood would just change, and I would be angry to the point I would almost hit her.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she would be like, what is going on? Because we would just have been talking about normal stuff and I'm like, I don't know. And we would pray because it would scare us. And then, you know, the feeling would dissipate and I'd be back to myself. Everything. And like at first I thought it was like, you know, what is it called whenever you have mood swings or whatever? Is that bipolar?
I think so. Like a mood disorder.
Apologies if you have this and I'm butchering the definition. But these things would happen all the time. You know, go from like perfectly content and happy to crying to angry to just different emotions that I knew were not mine. And I think that really scared me as a teenager because I was like, in that anger, I would be like, is this who I'm becoming? Is this who I am?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. And we would like go to youth group and like talk to our youth pastor about it and everything. It sounded like just like hormonal things happening.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I was like, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but this is not my emotion. Like,
yeah.
This is not mine.
I think something that's missing in, I will say, most Christian churches outside of certain like Catholics and stuff is an acknowledgement of these entities and a correct identification of these entities and what to do about them.
Right. Because like the way we grew up, we believed they exist, but we also believed we shouldn't mess with them.
Or study or learn or identify.
Right. Because God would protect us ultimately from all we needed to know.
Exactly. And it's kind of like, I always would think, like, after Ghostbusters, because I'm old, came out, I'd be like, oh, who are, like, the Ghostbusters? Like, who do you call? I was like, I hope Catholics take us, because they're the only people we got. Right. We're going to have to go to them.
So.
And I think they would take us on.
Yeah. Let's see where we're at. I have one more story to tell about another place that I lived.
Okay.
But it's not going to be the full story because I, you know, need to protect some of the innocent in this story. But I know one place I lived, I did see a dark figure. And it was in the middle of the night. And I woke everybody in the house up. Woke them all up. And my poor parents, I was still living with them at the time, and they were so kind and understanding about it. Mm-hmm. But I woke them up crying because I saw this dark figure.
Yeah.
Standing in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically was like, call the Christians. And they were like, what did you see? And I was like, it was a dark form, and blah, blah, blah. And my mom, bless her heart, she was like, now, I'm not being mean, but have you broken with reality? And it was so kind, but it was still like so annoying that, you know, I had to ask myself the same thing because I had seen that. But I mean, I went around for like hours after that, yelling at nothing, going, I know you're here now. I'm aware. And you're not welcome here. And this was in my adult life, so I think it's hilarious looking back at it. But like at the time, I was terrified.
Right. This reminds me of Shooing Away the Raccoon, though. Like, I know you're here.
Yeah. We had a raccoon show up on our porch one day.
Yeah. One night.
Yeah, one night.
And it was when you opened the door to take the dog out.
Yeah. And what did I do? I think I thought I was going to scare it by yelling at it. Like,
and you got the, yeah, and you had the broom.
Yeah, I had the broom.
Yeah.
I opened the door and I was like, rah!
Yeah.
It didn't flinch. This raccoon was on the porch eating cat food.
And then it like looked like it was going to come in the house. You ran back inside.
Oh my gosh. It was way braver than I am.
Didn't I video that?
You took a picture of it.
Oh.
I wish we had that on video.
Yeah, that was a good one. Sorry, I did not mean to hijack that.
No,
but
you're
yeah,
good.
That's what that reminded me of.
That was the end of the story, pretty much. Any final thoughts before we end tonight's episode?
No, it's been fun. I'll try and think of some more stories to add to your
collection.
Yes, to the collection.
I love listener submitted stories or people I know sending me stories. So if you're listening and you believe or you've experienced anything, I'll keep you anonymous if you send it to me. I'll post it as myself as a submitted story. But if you are loud and proud and are like, this happened to me, tell me to use your name. Or you can post it yourself in the Facebook group. The Facebook group is Paranormal Stories, in parentheses, a spooky shiz. And you join us there. It's where I post spooky memes year-round, especially around Halloween time. And then I'll post any scary stories or submitted stories in that group, too, for us to read. All right. I think that wraps up this episode. It's been fun. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Stay spooky, my friends.
All right. So, Hill Street. Good old place I grew up. There was a lot of turmoil and emotions and abuse and paranormal stuff that happened at Hill Street. So it was truly the perfect storm for entities being able to feed off of that unrest and that turmoil. Definitely picking me as one of its favorite targets because I was scared so easily. And I would have nothing to fall back on for protection. Feeling the Hill Street feeling at any other place that I've lived, I definitely know that there's a presence, you know, there whenever I feel a Hill Street feeling. It's almost like anxiety, but it's like I'm being watched, you know? So it's not a good feeling. Yeah. But I will say it has tried to crop up here and there at different places that we've lived, letting us know that things are there. For instance, the Mimic definitely gave us, though it didn't give me scary vibes at first, it started to give me Hill Street vibes whenever I would hear it. So with that being said, I would have to let it know that it was not welcome in my space, in my house, and then proceed to get rid of it so that I could live in peace. Also, definitely want to put a disclaimer out there. This is my experience and my perspective. But yeah, we didn't touch a lot of the stories from Hill Street because some of them should just stay with us as our stories. But yeah, this was a fun episode to make. And just wanted to put an update and a disclaimer on there. We were definitely not excited by the experiences that we shared with you. But as an adult, I'm glad to leave that chapter of Hill Street behind. Stay spooky, my friends.